Saint-Germain.
Andre, what a splendid party.
The prologue to a bright new year.
Quite a night, I'm impressed.
From a dustman's best.
Here's to us.
The toaster for the city.
What a pity that the Phantom can't be here.
So there we have it. Good evening. This is Trauma Talk. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
In case you haven't guessed, we're going to talk about a little bit about putting on masks.
That's what that song was about?
Yeah. Dude, that's Phantom of the Opera, yo.
Dude, I almost thought it was a Star Wars movie or something
Mask
like
away.
That.
Cam, what do you think? That's classic stuff there.
Totally.
It's good. I could just see them all, like, in the ballroom, like, with that. All right. So, yeah. Tonight we want to talk a little bit about hiding behind mask. And in the second half hour, we're going to be talking about the cost of discipleship. Been reading a little Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and it's very inspiring. Well, I mean, most people know who he is, but for those who don't, he was a great Lutheran minister during World War II. And just before being saved, this particular, before the place that he was saved by the Western forces, they made sure they hung him and executed him. And he knew, knowingly and willingly, what was going to happen, and he stood with great faith and through it all. So, Frank.
Sean.
Mm-hmm. Hiding, we talked a little bit about this on Tuesday with our group, too, about, you know, we hide behind these masks, and it's kind of like living in our own castle, especially when we're young and we go through a lot of early trauma. We create sometimes fantasy world that we create where the night will always save us in the end. And a lot of times then when we move forward, we're damaged and we get in these relationships, but you know, the people that we get with convince us that, you know, they're that knight in shining armor. And because we were naive and want to believe so badly that the stories were being told by those people are real, we fall right into a mess.
Or what we see is what we see something that's not there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like their reality is like off. It's twisted. It's not
right.
It's not grounded in the present moment.
Yeah, and sometimes when we go through a great deal of trauma, we create those worlds to, so that we have those walls up, like I said, like a castle, so that we don't have to expose ourselves to that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start doing that early on, you know, I used to make a joke about parents, you know, the first time that we start, that we get into denial is the first time that our parents tell us that the monster is not really underneath the bed.
And he's there.
We start to build up those walls, you know, telling us stuff doesn't exist, you know, and that if we just hide behind that facade that it's not there, that things
aren't
there.
But what happens when you look underneath the bed and it looks like he's there?
Scary, bro.
Yeah.
So we just have a tendency to cover up our pain and feelings of inadequacy with pride and even boastfulness too. That happens also. We tell stories that are just outrageous, and for those of us that have been through a lot, it becomes very it's very annoying when people do that.
Tell a story like a guy told a story. Oh, I killed 16 people.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, go somewhere and sit out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like.
Or that they're running 6-minute mile splits, one of our guys,
yeah, it's like
for 30 miles. Like, whoa.
But that's wow. That reality.
3 miles straight, I ran 6 minutes.
That's that reality that's created, being something like wearing that mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
don't
know how.
Deep.
We don't. Those particular people don't feel adequate being themselves, so they have to create this mask around them so that they feel more like they belong. More like, you know, oh, well, if I say that, I'm accepted. I'm a good athlete. I'm an elite athlete. I'm, you know, whatever it is. The shield of superiority boasting serves as a defense mechanism to mask deep-seated insecurities, fears of rejection, or feelings of what, Frank?
Insecurity.
Inadequacy.
Yeah, insecurity, inadequacy, yeah. Deep-seated rejection.
Yeah. And a lot of times we don't need, when our self-worth is bruised, pride creates a resume to demand admiration from others, which temporarily distracts us from our own perceived flaws. It's really sad because even when, I guess lately I've had this notion that I've been telling people when I see people in act, you know, acting boastful or something, I say it's not their fault entirely. It's, you know, they're it's the way they're
their reality.
Yeah, and their reality.
Yeah, it's their reality. But the thing is, it's like it's their reality, but they're not refusing to accept the internal turmoil that goes on within themselves.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So if I realize what's happening with me, inside me, then I could, like, approach or try to get help for this thing that goes on with inside me. But a lot of people refuse, like this guy we're dealing with now. You know, he thinks we're, like, I don't know. Sometimes people see me, and I've been doing it for so long. Oh, you're such a nice guy. You're just stupid. And I'd be looking at him like.
Well, and that brings a good point up, too, Frank, which is, you know, that a lot of times when people are just getting clean in particular or they're just starting to face themselves, they start saying things like, oh, I love you, man, and, you know, I'm so grateful and stuff like that. And they don't even know what those words mean yet.
What'd you tell them?
That they're not ready for that.
You don't know what that means. Yeah, you better stop that.
Learn who you are
first before you can't even love yourself, but you're going to tell me you love me.
Right.
Stop it.
Or that you're grateful when I know that you have nothing and no one and that you're only thinking about how to survive until the next day because that's what you've been programmed to do, right? If you're in that situation.
Yeah, because your brain's in survival mode.
Right. It's if you've gone that far down that path,
The front part's not connected, so you don't understand. You're not in reality.
Absolutely, Frank. You said it. The frontal, and you say this every week, the frontal cortex is not connected. We do not have the ability to face or feel those emotions. So I just got thrown off from a message from home on planet Mars. No, I'm kidding. So, it's so important. You know, we need to, it says throughout the New Testament that one of the things that we need to do to break that cycle is embrace vulnerability. Right? Acknowledge that we have struggles and that we're not supermen doesn't make us weak. It makes us human.
The men think that if I show weakness,
something's
wrong with me.
Accepting our imperfections, Frank, is the first step toward building genuine self-worth. Mm-hmm. Genuine self-worth. Not the one that we've been, the facade that we've been putting in front of everyone. Oh, yeah, I'm confident and I'm all this stuff. And inside, we're just jello, right? True self-worth means that no matter what anyone else has to say about us, that we know who we are, so it doesn't impact us the same, does it?
Right. Most people don't know that. Most people we deal with don't realize who they are.
Right.
You know.
So
it's
once
that interconnection, they don't.
And once we have a genuine self-worth, you know, it's like that saying when we're kids: sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me. Right.
Yeah, that's why people build up a false sense of themselves because they don't know the inner man. They don't know the inner themselves.
Scared.
Yeah, and that's the most difficult thing to do. I tell the guys the other day, man, you're afraid of yourself.
Yeah.
You can't deal with your internal self. You got to put all this false stuff up. Like, you know, what's the one he be saying? I be making moves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
right.
I'm this great type of person. But if I look on the inside, I know I'm not a great person. The stuff I've done, how could I even claim to be a great person? No words should even come out of my mouth. I understand that. Even like we was up at the hospital seeing the guy. Oh, man, so many people know you. That's what he told me. I'm like, man, look, I'm just a man, gets up every day. I practice getting myself together so I could be a better person in this world I live in. I'm not trying to get to know, like, greatness in my own head.
Frank, early in the morning, you slap shoes on your feet. That's do you know what those verses are from?
Slap shoes on my feet.
Do you know where they come from, Cam?
Slap shoes on my feet. What are you talking
early
about?
In the morning.
I slap shoes on my
slap
feet.
Slap shoes on my feet. That's sublime. Sublime.
I'm waiting for something big, man.
A little trivia. Slap shoes on your feet just like everyone else.
Yeah, I don't go around barefoot.
Right. With your Jesus slippers.
Yeah.
That's not exactly barefoot, but feet are kind of ugly. Would you agree? I know this
mine's
is off
are.
The subject.
Mine's
a little
are.
Bit,
I know mine's are.
Some people should just not wear Jesus slippers.
That's why we got to mask our feet.
Yeah.
With shoes.
Shoes are just fine. Yeah.
Just masks for your feet. Hide that ugly behind.
Oh, yeah. So. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cam's gangster, too.
Tied it all back together.
Yeah. It all comes together now. So, yeah, vulnerability, there's nothing wrong with being who we are. And, yeah.
You said vulnerability, right? I was just going back through this book.
Oh,
when
yeah.
you're talking, I'd be like looking at stuff, right?
Check it out.
So you talk, okay. I'm the most powerful man in the world, about to be crucified, Jesus Christ, right? And you're talking about being vulnerable, being stripped down to nothing. They'll nail you to the cross naked. How much does that take?
Right.
You know, you're talking about just like being subjected to something, being vulnerable for somebody else. We can't even be vulnerable for what? Who? What? You know?
Well, and, you know, unfortunately, some of those bad habits that we have, whether it's pride and boastfulness or even the hustle, you know, which some of our guys are still involved trying to hustle things for various reasons. But it gives you a certain amount of energy, mm-hmm. right? They derive a certain amount of adrenaline from a rush, like a high or whatever.
You
call it helping others or whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, it's a hustle. You know what I mean? Like the particular circumstances.
You're talking about if it's self-centered, trying to get something for myself.
Right.
But if I'm doing something just to be helping somebody because I see a need, that's selfless behavior.
Right,
that's
right.
Different. But when you're talking about when there's some type of secondary gain, oh, I'm going to go help this woman out that needs some help. Man, you don't need to be going nowhere near a woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But there's some secondary gain out of that.
Right.
That you're trying to get, whether it's that person's attention or whatever it is. But there's some type of secondary gain. But if I see somebody in need and I just do it with no secondary gain, that's what it's about.
It feels good to, I mean, when we're not feeling very good about ourselves, then we seek others' approval, don't we? But generally speaking, it's not the people's approval that we should be seeking approval from.
It's God's approval.
That's the only person.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that comes into understanding the cost of discipleship. You know, grace is freely given. We know that. And we don't have to necessarily do anything to earn it. But if we truly understood the cost of discipleship, the confessionals would be full if you're Catholic. And we'd be praying in earnest regularly forgiveness if we're Protestant. Because it's a process. It's a process of cleansing ourselves of all unrighteousness, right? So that we can let go of that ego, let go of those facades, let go of those masks, so that we can stand bare before the Lord and allow Him to cleanse us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we live with this Western ideology that there's no cost associated with discipleship. And Frank, I think that's dead wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong.
I think that
the cost
self-sacrifice is pretty high. Yeah, self-sacrifice in Western culture, we set aside self-sacrifice for self-aggrandizement and self-control is set aside for self-indulgence. Everything becomes about serving me.
Yeah, we think drinking and getting high is about.
Right. It's not just about hiding from things. It's also about overindulging because, darn it, I deserve it. And I'm worth it. Do you remember Pat from Saturday Night Live?
Stop it, man. Stop it.
Stop it. Is that, gosh darn it, I'm worth it. Is that Pat?
Stewart.
Yeah. Stewart.
Stewart Smalley.
Yeah, Stewart Smalley. That was it. Yeah.
Good enough. I'm smart enough. Gosh darn it. People like me.
Yeah. Right? Claiming Christianity and continuing to lead the same life does not constitute a life-changing, soul-refining conversion to faith.
But who's really doing that, man?
Right.
If I walk into my church, who's really doing that?
Right.
I mean, really. For soul cleansing, a self-sacrificing way of life in the Western culture, that. We don't know what that is. Everything's geared to our wants and our needs. Every cotton picking thing.
Right.
You know, we don't know what it's like to suffer. And then when it does happen, like, oh, somebody said, well, you did something wrong. You're being cursed. Well, but that's just a part of life. God said in Genesis, the curse was going to be by the sweat of our brow, we're going to plow, right?
Right.
Dude, every day I get up, I'm dealing with stress. That's just part of living this earthly life.
Right, and it's interesting how we think that we get all these gadgets and technology we think that we're making our life easier, but really, we're making it more and more complicated.
It's complex.
Yeah.
You watch kids nowadays, they can't walk down the street without a phone. I saw a guy getting off the bus. He was starting to dance. Man, that stuff's not normal. He's got headphones. He's like spinning off the bus like
that. What Frank didn't mention is that's one of his clients. He's a twice a weeker.
But you know what I'm saying? All because of technology.
Right. You said that you got him down to one step from two, didn't you?
But you know what I'm saying? Because of technology. It's right. So ingrained in us. You know?
Right, right. I mean, that's truly a miracle, Frank. Frank, for those who don't know Frank does make miracles happen with people. You know, you really do.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I get up and show up.
And remember, the word itself is living and active.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's only through the word.
Yeah.
You know. Right. Nothing else.
So, again, let me restate this. Claiming Christianity and continuing to lead the same life does not constitute a life-changing, soul-refining conversion to faith. Soul-refining, right? Purified as if through fire. You know, I want to have as few things as possible to have to go through the fire for. So it's important to me as a person that I can, you know, on a regular basis, I'm like, Lord, okay, sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. Even if possible, just, you know, at least once a month, you know, I try to take some self-reflection and say, okay, I could have handled these things better. Oh, my gosh, I did that totally wrong. Yeah, to some degree, yes.
Yeah.
Might be a second. But I'm saying about overall sin, yeah, I mean, whew, that's a pile. If I wait for a month, I can't possibly remember everything. I can't journal all my sins, so.
You can't even think about them all.
I know, right? That's why weekly for me is important.
The thing is, we're born into sin. We're made this way, right, because of the fall. That's just what it is. So self-reflection takes an internal look within myself. You can't do it. I'm the one that should be able to do it. So I'm the one that's living this life. But people refuse to do it. When you're talking about just the whole deal with sacrifice and the cost of discipleship, do people really count up the cost? Do they really know what it takes? The cost?
No.
Astronomical.
Well, and Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Unbridled by earthly expectations and truly turning to him, his ways is light, truly. He's not asking much of us. Confess your sins, turn to me, surrender, and I'm here. But those take those include making changes, right? And for so long, even I was there, I was like, oh, yeah, I go to church and I do this. You know, I'm pretty good at that. But then when church was over, I was just back to doing the same thing, right? Okay, we did our obligation. That's good. But that's not all there is to it. And when we begin to understand that, kind of like Peter did, Frank, didn't Peter begin, you know, we talk about him a lot, those three times when he denied Jesus, he wasn't ready yet.
No.
Didn't he have on masks? Wasn't he still wearing masks? And the same guy.
He was scared to death.
Yeah, the same guy that was on the fishing.
One time, lady was like, oh, you sound like one of them people.
Yeah.
He started cussing everything.
Oh. Right.
Blah, 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 blah,
how dare you?
Cussing on top of it.
Right.
Talking about fear, gripped his soul.
But the same guy who chopped off the ear of the Roman soldier, yeah. Isn't it? When they came to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane.
But the thing is, okay, I'm reading this, right? Because he's talking about count the cost, right? I remember reading this. It's from the King James Version. It says, for which you intend to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. At least happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish it. When you say count the cost, you know what comes with it? I count the cost, but also, guess what? There's an experience in counting that cost.
Right.
When we talk about Peter, he had to experience that.
Absolutely.
And then it humbled him.
Right.
We're talking about me and you getting free from the monkey off our back. We had to go through something to get there.
Amen.
And then we began to reflect and be count, like, you know, I'm tired of living like that. No, 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 no. I'm not going back down that path. Well, I don't want to be on that path.
And we ask ourselves that question again, that it took all that purification for Peter to be the leader of the church that he became, A, and B, it made his surrender complete, which eventually led him to willing martyrdom. There was nothing that he was not willing to do for his Lord and Savior. Nothing. But it took pain, and it took suffering, and it took trials for him to get there. And it ultimately, it took him following Jesus and sacrificing the ways of the world, the way the world thought he should be, and turning to Jesus. Not that I'm saying everyone should join a monastery by any means or anything. I just merely am saying that we need to reflect on the life that we're living. And reflect on how we're treating each other.
That's all we're saying.
And is that in any way different than the way that I did things before I called myself a follower of Christ?
We came out of the restaurant today, right? I looked down, and the lady with the bald head was coming up this way. I looked at her, I'm like, okay, you know.
Right.
Then she kept walking and walking and walking. Do you have $2 to help me?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know what that was about.
That's what it was about. I was like, oh, you're talking to me because I look like a nice guy, aren't you? She's like, no, I just need a few dollars off, like, walking in these streets. Because being a woman, that's dangerous, right? Yeah. Oh, here, just $5.
Yeah.
Said, thank you. But, you know, I want to be that person that makes the world a better place.
Right.
We talk about counting the costs. I've counted my costs. My job is to make the world a better place, not to be like I used to be and make the world a worse place. The world's bad as it is.
But to see things differently. Right. So we're going to go off to break, and we'll be back. Welcome back. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
This is Trauma Talk. I just like to jam a little bit. We definitely live in a land of confusion today, don't we, Frank?
No, confusion. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
We were
up in the air about whether we should do We Didn't Start the Fire, which, amazingly, the fire alarms are sounding right now at the building.
Should have not have said that.
I know. The minute after we said it, it couldn't be 2 minutes later, like the fire alarms started going off. It's crazy. So if we go off the air suddenly, it could be even from an explosion.
You guys are going to fly solo for a minute. I'm going to go find out what's going on.
Cam's got it. If you smell smoke, there's definitely a fire. Come get us, okay?
Don't forget about you guys up here.
If it smells like smoke, is not what Smokey the Bear says?
Yeah.
If you smell smoke, there's fire.
Only you can prevent building fires.
That's yeah. Woodsy Owl.
That Woodsy Owl, man. Stop it.
Woodsy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that? Yeah. Holy smokes. Well.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be okay, but we'll keep you posted. So, yeah, Land of Confusion. Definitely confusing times. And all that stuff that, you know, we're talking about, putting on masks and stuff like that, you know, it also gets us to start isolating, not only physically isolating from others, but also mentally isolating from others, right, Frank? Where
that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, we build up so many walls that nobody can penetrate our heart anymore. At least we're pretty sure they can't. I mean, but, and shame also thrives on secrecy, Frank.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. What is that saying? We're only as sick as our secrets, right?
But the whole thing is, we're talking about that Book of Shame. It talks about, because of the mental isolation, it causes that neural disintegration, so the brain begins to, like, prune itself. So once the brain begins pruning itself, it becomes less and less ineffective. You know, so you see people, you look at them like, what the heck happened to you? That's what's going on, because they're isolating from the world.
Just that
or
blank.
Or from healthy people.
Yeah, that blank look, yeah. And that's why it's so important that we find people around us, Frank, that are healthy,
mm-hmm.
and that are sharing in the same goals that we are as far as our faith and other things, so that they can work through these things with us. And I'm not necessarily saying everyone out there needs a counselor, obviously, but everyone does need friends.
Yeah,
friends that they can confide in.
Yeah,
friends they can trust. And friends that share values.
Friends that give you feedback about your life. I don't want no yes man in my life.
No.
Yes. Stop it. Tell me the truth.
Right.
Tell me what I need.
And, you know, those are the people that prove to us that healing is possible, you know, that we can overcome these things. I was just checking out where I said, no matter how good of a life we live, it's impossible for us to earn our way to heaven.
That's not happening.
Right.
That is not happening.
And I hope that the underlying message, or the prevailing message is, that gets through to people, is that it takes grace and discipleship. It takes both grace and discipleship, which are inseparable to us in our walk, in our journey. We have to be disciples of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And not only read his words, but letting his words become living and active in our lives.
In our minds, yeah. Must get so deep down inside of me that it automatically comes out.
Penetrates.
Yeah. Deep down to my soul's got to penetrate.
And then do I begin to learn who I truly am, yeah. and who I am intended to be, who I am truly intended mm-hmm. to be, not the person that I try to create for myself, for others.
It's not easy, you know that. It's got to be a daily. No. It's got to practice.
And it's humbling, too, you know. Yeah.
You watch the professional players like basketball, football, baseball, whatever. They've been practicing that since they were kids. That's why they're so good at it. When you're talking about, like, counting the calls and choosing to be who God calls us to be, that takes, like, a lot of practice.
Which brings up a good point. We, you know, not to expect, you know, change by leaps and bounds from others either.
No.
So there's a very fine line between people not changing at all when they say they're Christian, and then really truly working on things and then being beaten down by the people around them that are saying, you're not changing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on in your heart and your soul and how hard you're working on that relationship with God and becoming more selfless for others.
Yeah, like they can't judge from the outside what's going on inside. They're not God. They don't know.
Hey, Frank, that's the cleaning lady. What do you think? Did she just decide it's Memorial Day weekend and pull the trigger on that fire alarm? She was like, I'm done.
She's still working, man.
I think
she's
saying, I'm done taking this trash out. She just pulled the trigger.
She carried out a lot of trash, but she's still working.
I haven't seen the fireman lights yet.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We're not dying yet. Ain't time for us to go.
Lord, got this. So, 1 Corinthians, well, let's go to Matthew 5:23 and 24. I was talking about how communion has become more of a ritual than an act of sanctification or purification. That's where that that subject of renewing our spirit and confessing our sins comes in. It's not vital to taking communion or receiving communion, but we sure to get a lot more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When we are properly practicing turning over our sins, hey, it stopped.
Yeah.
Either the fire has disconnected the alarm or somebody did. Okay, great.
The fireman came here and shut it off.
Oh, good. So, whenever I think of those alarms and the passwords, I always think of that movie. I can't remember if it was with Kurt Russell, but his password was Pyramid. And so
you're the guy, man.
I know. Unlawful entry, I think is it. And anyway, getting back to this, yeah. So important stuff. Where was I, Frank? Talking about communion, right?
Yeah, you was talking about communion, yeah.
Yeah.
And like the sacrifice that and people are like it's almost like they're going through the motions, you know what I'm saying?
Throw up your left fist, Frank, for her. Oh, there
she's
goes
over there
again.
Working, man.
I think she's doing it, Frank. All right. So anyway, it's not necessary, but we do want to get the most out of communion. And I think that the practice of confession and other things that lead up to that has been totally watered down, Frank. I don't think communion has taken on a whole new face in the Protestant church. It's like, you know, some churches only do it once a month or whenever they feel like it, you know. It's like,
you ever see them do
feet? We have some wine this week.
You ever see them do feet washing?
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about my
they bring out the oil?
Not church. The last one I was going to, like, their belief was they should do feet washing also, but they didn't do it.
Oh.
You know,
they have enough oil?
No, I'm talking about you get the pan out.
Right.
There's not oil, there's water.
With the perfumed oil, like Mary.
I thought it was water, man. It was like all that.
Oh.
But yeah. I'm still, it's pretty humbling, but
I'm not washing your feet, okay?
No, I wash my own feet.
Okay, thank God.
It's a part of being like humility.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm humble enough, but... Mm-hmm. If I can avoid it, you know. Yeah. So, on from feet washing, but confession really has become less important, and many of the acts of the church.
I don't think sin's important. People don't make sin that important. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we just think because grace is free, we're told that grace is freely given, then we're forgiven, and it's all good, and we can do whatever we want, right? We can just keep doing what we're doing.
No, don't work like that.
No.
You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, you know.
Right.
Because of the mercy, I'm sitting here today, not because of anything I did, because of his mercy. But that don't give me a license to keep doing what I've been doing.
Amen.
That don't make it okay, you know. That'd be like saying it's okay for murder, go out and, like, just keep killing people. It's not okay. It's not okay to keep hurting people. And we live in a nation today where it's a repetitive thing to, like, cause harm and hurt, you know.
Right.
It's almost like that's in our nation, it's almost like a code they live by, you know?
Yeah, well, and the scriptural basis for that is 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins
to cleanse
and purify us from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Gosh darn it, Frank, if I had to wash your feet, I would. Just thinking about that.
Just like when you talk about went to the hospital today, right? We did it because that individual was been in there for over 2 weeks. And where they were at, they don't get many visitors, right?
No.
You know what I'm saying? But it made his day supposed to go up there. And then, like, you know, this was time. This is the first time I've seen him in the last 5 months. We were laughing together.
Yeah.
You know? But that meant he was getting better. But, I mean, he was glad to see us. But, I mean, to hear him laugh and then tell things to make us laugh, he's not the person that was so deep in depression in a dark spot.
Right.
We're talking about those are the people we want to be to help people get to where they need to be at. And if that's what we're going to do, we have to count the cost, put the sacrifice, and save some lives. A lot of people don't want to do that. They want to, like, whatever. That's on them.
What's in it for me? Yeah.
Yeah. But this is what we're doing.
Right.
You know?
Oh, we're on a mission for sure. Yeah. And the most selfless mission I've ever been on in my life, other than my children, my young children. And I'm grateful for you kiddos, too. And, oh, my gosh, Frank, I know I told you about this earlier, but my one of my twins, their teacher, they love their teacher so much, mm-hmm. and she was so good to him that his little lower lip went, you know how they
put their lower lip,
his lower lip, he's crying.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss her. So anyway, she's so cool that we were able to call her, and she told him it was okay, and that he had all of her heart, and oh, it was so sweet. Mm-hmm. Those are things that remind us how important educators and other people are as well, not just parents, but everyone who touches our children's lives has an important role in their life.
Yeah.
In shaping their future.
Mm-hmm. Did he stop crying after he talked to her?
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, it calls believers to forgive one another just as Christ forgave them. Church. Yeah. And
but can't people really do that?
When we surrender our will to him and when we realize, look, you know, we were talking about that today, Frank. You know, like, if you made a list of everything wrong that anybody had ever done to you, I mean, which there's plenty of, right? But,
right.
But In retrospect, are we still here?
Still what?
Are we still here?
Yeah, we're still here.
Are we
yeah.
sitting here right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
So how important are any of those?
On that list?
Like,
they're not
life
important.
Altering, life changing, mm-hmm. like,
mm-mm.
yeah. Mm-mm. So really, is the sinner thinking about, is that person thinking about what they've done to us to hurt us?
Or
let's say the wrongs we've all done wrongs mm-hmm. to others in yeah. varying degrees. Do we sit there all day and think, oh my God, I wish I wouldn't have done Jimmy that way or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh God, I wish I wouldn't have said that to Charlie two years ago. Yeah, right. That's,
you know, it depends on
well,
the severity.
Once we confess it and yeah. say, you know.
Oh, you're talking about after we confess it and all.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's not there.
Then it's we got to let it go.
Let it go.
Didn't we talk to our
far
guy?
As the east is from the west.
Right. We talked mm-hmm. to our guy about that today, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Once we confess those sins and we turn them over and we're truly repent for them, then what does God do? He removes them as far as the east is from the west.
And we need to let it go.
Right. It's not even our right to carry those because that's arrogance on our part, isn't it, at that point?
No.
Because we're playing God, right?
Yeah, trying to get some type of retribution or something like
right,
that.
Right. If God says, I forgive, if he can forgive us, then who are we to not forgive others?
You know, that's hard to do when somebody really hurts us.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I meant...
What?
Not oh my God, I meant oh my gosh.
Oh, I thought there's somebody standing behind me, man. I'm like, what?
But yeah, it is. It we think that it's hard, but that's because we're isolated to our own belief systems,
and our emotions,
our feelings,
and our hurt,
yeah,
our pain, yeah, yeah.
Which all God sees is compassion.
Mm-hmm. And we work to have the same type of compassion,
right?
That's
to work towards that.
Work
yeah,
towards that.
Yeah. Speaking of the confessional, the table, just for a moment again, it says, I say, the Spirit is the one who is operative in the table. If we eat and drink in a worthy manner, that is discerning the Lord's body and having a clean conscience, realizing that we are polluted sinners in need of God's grace, then the Spirit blesses the supper in us and feeds the inner man.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It is food.
Amen.
It is feeding our soul.
Right.
Through the via the Spirit.
Yeah. That's the one that's lacking, the inner man.
I have a weirdo for you, Frank, a weird question. Have you ever taken communion and just felt, felt the Spirit overtake you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I always wonder, but it's only when I've really done, but if I'm just willy-nilly going to church and, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go take communion, it doesn't give me that. But then those rare moments where I really right. feel like I have.
You work on being in that moment and in an experience.
Yes.
That's the thing, yeah.
Which and I'm unable to do unless I've been handling things properly throughout the week. You know,
and you practice.
Right. That doesn't mean that I didn't sin.
No,
but it means what I did do is I took it to the cross, you know, and if I felt wronged, I took it to the cross mm-hmm. and let it go. I didn't choose to be angry about it or carry it with me.
Yeah, because, you know, you're talking about just.
Share that, Frank.
Huh?
Share that.
What? Oh, I'm trying to find some. I'll tell you what I was just reading.
Yeah.
It was, I do a daily, prayer. I do a daily prayer, breath work, journaling, and I practice yoga for about, it all totals for about an hour every morning. I never thought I'd be able to do anything like that. But it's just a practice I've gotten into. I had to work into it, right? And I call it the last watch. That's what I do every morning. So one of the scriptures I had scribbled down, because I was talking about becoming vulnerable to the Lord, and what I wrote, I'm becoming vulnerable to Him. I'm beginning to know Him. He knows me. We are living in a peculiar time, and we need to know Him. Lord, what is your direction for me? The scripture for today that came to me was Psalms 119:1. How blessed are those who are blameless and walk in the ways of the Lord. Thank you for giving me the word. I praise you for blessing me. And when you talk about just the practice, this is what I need to practice that so I can be who I need to be. I'm not saying Sean got to do that. This is what Frank needs to do. You know, because I think a lot of times when people begin to do things like that, they begin to think, oh, I'm so holy. Oh, you know, like there's somebody, right?
Or place ourselves on a pedestal above someone else that's.
Yeah.
And we talked about that a little bit earlier, too, didn't we, about mm-hmm. about getting caught up in thinking, oh, well, what are they doing with their faith?
Yeah.
Each journey is our own.
Right, right.
But with that being said, we're called to also, when we take action, to do it together.
Right.
Right.
We have to work together.
Right.
I can't go out here like, oh, I'm Superman.
Right.
Look, I need you because I'm facing the demon out there.
Then you're my brother, right?
Yeah, I can't fight that. I can't fight that fool
alone.
I want to say fool alone.
Right, right.
It will
overtake me.
Wait a minute. I was watching this one show, right? Was it a cartoon or something like that?
Afro Man?
No, it wasn't Afro Man. It was something like religious cartoon, right? This dude was going out to fight the devil.
Was it the Veggie People?
No, he's going out to fight the devil. It was like something based on the Three Little Pigs, right?
Yeah.
So he go out there to fight the wolf. He come back in, man. He is tore up from the floor.
Right.
He got handled. I'm like, I can't go out there by myself. Not me. I'll get tore up.
Right.
Strength is in numbers.
And I might need your hand to hold me so I don't fall in that abyss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
and
so that's when you, like, well, I was talking to the young man this afternoon, and he was talking about, he was in the yard working, the other person left him, right? I said, man, if I'm with you and we're doing this together, I'm helping you in that yard.
Right.
I'm helping pick up dirt. I'm helping do whatever. I'm not going to go off somewhere and leave you here.
Right.
That's just like when it comes to staying sober. I can't do this by myself. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm super. I'm not going to stand here by myself. Right. I need people behind me, with me, locked arm and arm.
Well, and also, Frank, that discernment comes with time, mm-hmm. too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Knowing, of playing the tape through and saying, I'm about to put myself in a situation that I know better.
Yeah.
And that all I'm doing is asking for trouble, you know what I mean? But but it's so hard, you know, and it's so hard when you see somebody falling head first into some situation that mm-hmm. you know is not going to bear fruit for them.
Right.
But just to step back is the hardest thing in the world. And don't let them fall. Yeah.
Because you can't stop them. If they were connected with you, then they would see like, hey, I'm about to jump off into something I need not be into. I'm going to step back, right? But if they're not connected because of their choice not connected, you can't do anything to stop them.
No.
I got to let you go. I pray that you make it back. But man, I got to let you go because there's nothing I can do
to stop
you.
I can't own that, right? No. I can't have that on me.
No.
And that's the hardest thing to do for us, you know, working through things and working with people.
And you see it. You know what's coming.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, I've done this long enough to where I see people go out and not make it back.
Yeah.
They're dead. I wish that on nobody.
And if we feel that compassion, mm-hmm. Frank, imagine the compassion that Jesus feels.
Oh.
When he looks down and sees.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Choosing to make bad choices. He's like, I'm right here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You ain't got to make that choice.
Right.
That choice ain't healthy.
Right.
What's it going to do for you?
Just a moment's happiness that could lead into a lifetime of pain. You know, mm-hmm. I've had a lot of friends and loved ones that have lost people recently. And I want to take a moment here and just say a prayer for everyone, Frank. What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead. Just say a prayer.
Lord, I just want to thank you for loving us, Lord, even when we're not lovable ourselves. Thank you for helping us to see things that we couldn't see before. Help us. Please, thank you for helping us to open up our hearts, Lord, and open up our minds to your will, Lord. And we're just scratching the surface. But we thank you so much because there's so much more that we have to learn. And, Lord, I know that a lot of our friends and loved ones have suffered losses lately, and please, Lord, just be there in their hearts and comfort them, Lord, and let them know that that those people that they love are at peace, Lord. And we pray for all those that have passed, Lord, in general. It's Memorial Day weekend. All the soldiers that have fallen for us so that we can maintain our freedom. All those loved ones, Lord, and even the ones that we struggle with at times, we pray for. We pray for them even more, Lord. And I just want to thank you for being there for us tonight, for us having this show, and for us being able to reach out to you out there. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Imports since 1990. The place to find your next car or truck. 12 months, no interest financing. Cars and trucks to meet all your needs from $1,500 to $20,000. Two locations to serve you at 8825 Maple Street and 136th and Millard Ave. Call for more info, 402-390-0500. Sports and Imports.